For the first time in a while, I actually have some guests on this episode. Along with that, it's a very off-topic episode, so go ahead and enjoy episode 9 of Off the Cuff. Roll the music! Cuff episode number 9. Can't wait. We got another great episode for you guys today. And I know for like the last, like, I don't know how many episodes I've been by myself. No, I'm not lonely, because today I didn't just bring one guest. I brought two of them today. One of those guests being, you saw him on most of the episodes early on in Off the Cuff's short little history. We got Colin Echols back
What's
in
good,
the studio
everybody
today to talk some sports, mainly for the big F1 news, but I won't spoil that yet. And then I also got a man that has been trying to get on the show for a while. You know, COVID's pretty crazy. You know, we're half the school's here and then half the school's not here, but we got him in today. We got Christian Oates, the host of two podcasts, if you want to go ahead and shout those out real quick.
First one, Munch with Honey Bunch, got a lot of big things going on for that. Other one, Toon Talk, talk about the latest and greatest things in music. And shout out to my car getting me here on my virtual days, because it wouldn't be easy.
Yeah, and we got a great episode. Happy to have both of you on for Off the Cuff. Christian, I got some NBA news and some NFL news. I got a mix of all that. Colin, we're going to go ahead and start with not F1, but that'll be right up next. We're going to start with what everyone was talking about over the weekend.
Jake Paul's fight?
This freaking Jake Paul fight. We're going to go ahead and talk about it. You know, to most people, this is a fast forward. And if you want to fast forward, you know what? Hey, I wouldn't blame you. But we got to talk about it. There's a lot of controversy regarding this fight. Is it rigged? Is it not rigged? We'll go around the table. We'll start with Colin.
See, here's the thing. I didn't even know that there was a Jake Paul fight until yesterday when a picture popped up on my Instagram feed. But based on the way that he looked versus the way that – who did he fight?
He fought Ben Askren.
Yeah. And the way that Ben Askren looked versus the way that Jake Paul looked, I would not be surprised if that fight wasn't rigged. Jake Paul just looked like an absolute animal compared to him.
I know you guys don't really know MMA that well, right?
Isn't Ben Askren like 0-3?
So Ben Askren,
he's a wrestler, not a boxer.
Ben Askren is a
Clearly the man's built like, I mean, he's not built like a boxer.
So here's Ben Askren. Ben Askren is an MMA. Really, if the only way I think Americans know Ben Askren is from when he took the knee from Jorge Masvidal in about 5 seconds, and then last night when he got knocked out by Jake Paul. Ben Askren is actually one of the biggest MMA stars ever in Japan. Japan has its own MMA promotion called ONE Championship. It's the second biggest promotion in the world, behind the UFC and ahead of Bellator. He was the main champion there. He ruled ONE Championship, and then he got traded over here to the UFC for Demetrius Johnson, and then he just hasn't been the same since.
And then you got knocked out by the ex-Disney star turned YouTuber turned boxer.
And that's exactly what happened. But in Ben Askren's credit, he hasn't fought since 2019. He's been retired since then, and he's recently come off a hip replacement surgery. So,
wait, why are you fighting after you just had a hip replacement?
If you're asking me,
That would be like my grandpa getting up out of his lazy boy and saying, all right, I'm going to box somebody today.
If you're asking me, it's a credible win for Jake Paul. You beat an actual fighter. Let's mark that down. I've beaten an actual fighter now. Yes, he had a hip replacement surgery, but it counts as an actual fighter. Now, no more UFC stars, no MMA stars fight a current boxer with an above 500 record. I don't care if they're 2-1. It needs to be an actual boxer now.
Didn't he say he was going to fight Floyd Mayweather?
No, that's Logan Paul, and that fight isn't happening
Conor McGregor, didn't he?
He's called out McGregor, he's called out Dylan Danis, but all these guys are MMA stars. He hasn't called out a boxer.
Oh,
McGregor's
that's
not,
right. He
McGregor
is
boxed one fight. I'm not calling him a boxer. I'm still calling him an MMA guy.
Hey, Floyd Money Mayweather, where you at? All I'm saying is he'll keep the undefeated record.
And look, I mean, as much as most people don't want to say it, Jake's got knockout power. He does.
Dude, the picture I saw of him throwing a haymaker.
He's really getting there. Compared to, like, he started from basically nothing, if you think about it.
Yeah, he's got knockout power.
Yeah, I mean, he
I don't know why people are... Here's what Ariel Helwani said. He's an MMA journalist, well-known around the community. He said, Paul set him up with a jab and a straight right. Say what you will about Paul. He has power. He has fundamentals. There's no debating this. The question is, who's next? How far can this all go? So far, so good. Literally, Jake Paul has the sport that is dying. He has boxing in the palm of his hand right now, and everyone's feeding into it. 1.4 million pay-per-view buys just to watch him fight.
Also, I heard it like took an extra hour and a half to see the fight, which is wild.
Yeah, there was a lot of musical performances that were not good. I don't care what anyone says. They were
not
good.
Wait, did you
buy
the pay-per-view?
No, I didn't buy it. I just saw everyone, you know, bashing the performances.
It's got to be like a really good fight for me to pay for it.
Yeah.
Jake Paul versus Ben Askren.
It wasn't worth it. I don't think it was rigged. I'll be the first to say it. And people are like, well, Askren got up and walked up to the referee. Well, like Colin just said, he was out of shape, coming off the hip replacement surgery. And when you get hit like that on the side of the head, you aren't the same for the rest of the fight. And most likely, if the ref would have let him go, he was going to get knocked back down again. So props to the ref for knowing how to do his job and stopping the fight because he knew it was over. Moving on, Colin, Christian, do you know much about F1?
I'll go and back off. I'll go with my microphone and I'll let you guys handle it.
We'll go ahead and go over to Colin. We're not going to get into the race that much. We're going to eventually get, if you go back and listen to the F1 special we had a while back, we actually had myself, Colin Eccles, Roman Davis, and Joe Jackson on, and we talked about F1 before the season started. Now, F1 has released some major news. They already race in America. They race at Texas at the Circuit of the Americas. They are now coming to Miami for the Miami Grand Prix.
Cue the Miami Vice music.
Exactly, and here's my phone. This is actually a picture of it, like all the drivers, like yeah, it looks nice, doesn't it,
dude?
And so Christian, what they're doing is F1. You've seen what F1 cars.
Yeah.
What they're gonna do is they're making a street course and they're gonna race around Hard Rock Stadium.
Ooh.
Where the Miami Dolphins play.
Sounds like an actual really interesting idea.
I will be watching
this race.
How often
do you see things like that?
I think the last time we saw race cars race around a stadium is when IndyCar did it back in the 2000s, and they did it around NRG Stadium where the Houston Texans played.
See, the thing, I wish street races would come.
I wish there was more street courses.
I wish they would
racing.
Come back, because like when you look in movies and stuff, you know, you look at some of these movies and race car movies.
I think
that
they're starting to make a comeback, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, because I think really the only real street race that's left consistently is Monaco.
Well, not also that, and then I think IndyCar does one in L.A. I just forgot the name of it. They're also adding a new one in Chicago. They'll be racing in the actual streets of Chicago, and then I think NASCAR's trying to get one done in Las Vegas.
Race in Chirac? That'll be interesting.
Yeah. Will
Dirk make an appearance?
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
Get your tire blown out.
O Block.
And we'll have...
race through O Block.
And we'll have to see. Let's go ahead. We're just going to switch over. There's not really much, you know, just simple, easy transitions here. So we're just going to go ahead and just switch from, you know, we've gone to boxing, gone to IndyCar. Now we're just going to go to football. We're just going to go right into it. The Bengals are targeting wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase with the 5th pick per Tyler Dragon of The Enquirer. I've been seeing the argument. Should the Bengals draft an offensive lineman, Penei Sewell from Oregon, the top one in the draft, or should they draft Ja'Marr Chase, the top receiver in this draft? But I technically would say Kyle Pitts is the top receiver in this draft, even though he's a tight end. He's still, and it's tied between those two. So I'll start off with Christian, because I know Christian follows the NFL draft a little more than Colin. So I'll let Christian go first.
I'll be honest, the NFL draft, it really isn't too much of my expertise.
Yeah.
I know once I get to IU, I'll be able to get into college more, because it took me a while to adjust to high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not good to like announce my non-credibility, but it'll be interesting to see how the draft turns out. I really like how they
as Pat McAfee would say.
Exactly.
And I'll say it from him, this show stinks. So it's not like no one's really listening.
No, look.
Penei Sewell or Ja'Marr Chase?
Not a wide receiver. Don't go. I'm going to be the Bengals' conscience right now and tell them not to do a wide receiver. We already saw what happens to Joe Burrow when he has no blocking, when he has none. So why would you waste it on a wide receiver? get an offensive line.
Burrow, I think there was a report that saying Burrow wants a receiver.
Well, okay,
so,
look, I understand
I'd
why
assume the quarterback is going to know what he wants.
I understand.
If that's what he's asking for.
I understand, too, why he wants a receiver because...
Because you've lost A.J. Green.
You just
you
lost
have
AJ
no
Green.
Receiving. I can't... It's great that I have an offensive line, but who am I going to throw the ball to if I have an offensive line?
But if you have no offensive line and you have a receiver, how are you going to have time to throw to a receiver?
Well, if what Joe Burrow wants, Joe Burrow will figure out because he wants a receiver.
Look, I would go for the offensive line.
I think they'd make the wrong pick here. I think if the Dolphins don't... Oh, the Dolphins traded out of that spot. My fault. That messed up. If the Falcons don't take Kyle Pitts, the Bengals need to take Kyle Pitts. Not Ja'Marr Chase. The Bengals need to take Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts, I'm not saying it just because of, you know, the Megatron 2.0 he's being called and all these things. I'm saying it because Kyle Pitts is definitely the best receiver in this draft. And I know Ja'Marr Chase is getting a lot of, you know, not getting the credit he deserves because he didn't play this year with LSU, but he's still a top receiver. He's still up there with Kyle Pitts. But I think Pitts has the higher ceiling more than Chase.
I don't know.
I think I spoke for everyone there. I just think Pitts is the best talent receiving-wise, even though he's a tight end. None of the NFL scouts have talked to him about playing receiver. They would keep him at tight end, but
that's a good thing, versatility.
Yeah, this is people are calling him like what Saquon Barkley was, like a generational type running back. He is a generational type receiver.
Tony Gonzalez comeback?
Well, he hasn't been getting the Tony Gonzalez comparisons,
but he's gotten the Calvin Johnson comparisons.
So, that's what I would want.
That, yeah, that is kind of bigger because, I mean, you know, we all know the picture of Megatron lined up with two Saints DBs on him.
No disrespect to Tony Gonzalez. He is great.
Tony Gonzalez
right,
is like one of the greatest in the
world. I love him.
Yeah. I mean,
when Calvin Johnson is being called a top 10 receiver of all time with no Super Bowl rings, you know you've done something right. And then you retired early.
Especially on the lines, too. Like, geez.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only reason you didn't win a Super Bowl is because you're in Detroit. Yeah, honestly,
I mean, yeah, I wish he would have left Detroit. Let's go ahead and talk. Yeah, we're just switching up here, folks. We're going to go ahead, switch over to the NBA. Kevin Durant was in an interview recently where he was asked to name his top five teammates. Here is his rankings. Kyrie at 1, James Harden at 2, Stephen Curry at 3, Klay Thompson at 4, and Serge Ibaka at 5. Is there a name missing in there, Christian?
Draymond Green. I heard that's a big fuss about that, but...
What? You're just like KD? You didn't realize who he left out?
Wait.
Westbrook!
Oh, shoot. Oh, my gosh.
He left out Westbrook.
That is wild.
And he literally asked the interviewer, and the interviewer even asked him, he was like, aren't you forgetting someone? He's like, no, who am I forgetting? And he was like, oh, put Westbrook at 4. So now... His list is Kyrie, James Harden, Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, Klay Thompson. What?
That is...
And look, I see why he put Kyrie and Harden at 1 and 2. You know, he's just, those are his current teammates. You know, I don't want to rough up any baby feelings because, you know, the NBA is soft nowadays. If you're wondering where Colin went, he went to go do an exclusive interview for the baseball game coming up. I don't know if he'll be back, but we still got Mr. Christian Oates here. I'm very shocked by KD, but I'm not. I don't know. I mean, you won rings with Curry, so I guess that makes sense. But for the fact you just forgot about Westbrook,
yeah,
it's
and
just
it's,
astonishing.
It's just putting Kyrie at 1. They played together for, I mean, maybe a few months or whatever. But then having Harden was at 2, right?
Yeah, Harden was at 2,
and they played together multiple times, and they had that finals run back in the Thunder. You'd think that he would be higher more than people that he's played longer than less than a year for.
I don't know why he is so mad. I don't know why. Hang on, wow, that I don't know what I'm saying there. I don't know why. I don't think Kyrie and Harden would have been mad if he would have put Curry at 1. If I was KD, I'd put Curry at 1. I'd put Kyrie at 2, I'd put Westbrook at 3, I'd put Harden at 4, and I'd put Klay at 5. No, I'd put Harden at 5, and I'd put Klay at 4. Sorry, you played with Westbrook to start out your career. You almost won a finals. You chose to leave and be a snake and go to Golden State. And for anyone listening, I don't think him and LeBron, I don't think those are the same thing. There's a difference. You don't leave after you don't go to the team that you blew a 3-1 lead to in the Western Conference Finals. You just don't do that. It's not the same as LeBron going to the Heat. I don't want to ever hear that argument.
And the Heat team that LeBron not even went to, the team that he helped form, they weren't the greatest team of all time.
Yeah, the Spurs beat them.
Exactly.
And the Spurs were probably a super team in their own right if Kawhi wasn't like at the level he is now.
Yeah,
but I mean,
baby Kawhi, but
they
still
were technically a super team too if you look at it. So, I mean, I don't know. And anything, the Celtics were the first super team with Pierce, Rondo, Allen, Garnett. So
yeah, because I remember I learned a lot to stay off of NBA Twitter because the people on there, they're not smart. I had to mute the words LeBron sexual, Jordan sexual, real ring, ratio, all those things. They helped make my Twitter experience 50 million times better.
Or when LeBron won his ring this year and people called
Mickey
it the Mickey Mouse ring.
I need to add that to the list. Thank you for reminding me. But like they say LeBron invented the super team, and it makes me so mad because
I think he did invent it.
Too, Isaac.
Look, I've got plenty of respect for LeBron. But no one called ball. People started calling it a super team when LeBron got there. And I realized, you know, that's just LeBron haters. That's fine. But if we're going to be technical with it, I think Miami was the first super team.
Okay. I mean, because Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen.
The first modern super team. There was plenty of super teams back in the day. I was just saying, like.
Oh, the modern. I mean, because then, I don't know. Because, like, back when the Celtics had that super team, social media couldn't extend it because Twitter was like in their first one of their baby stages, so you couldn't really have social media extended like it is. But then now people saying LeBron, I think they're just adding that on to hate on LeBron. I know you said it's not the case for you.
Yeah, I don't hate on LeBron, and I'm not saying that because I'm a Lakers fan. I mean, I'm a Lakers fan. I'm not a LeBron fan. I'm a Kobe fan forever.
Respect.
Rest in peace. Let's go ahead and keep on. In the L.A. market, kind of, because, you know, LeBron plays in L.A. You get the gist there. You should get the gist.
I like the transition.
There we go. See. Sometimes the viewers, they don't like my transitions.
Oh, they stink.
I know. Well, don't tell them that. The show stinks. Not them.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
They're great. Besides my stepdad, but shout out to him, you know. He listens every day. Because he's always, I get home, and there will be a take he doesn't like. And he'll be like, I didn't agree with this one. And we'll have an argument for like 20 minutes when I get home. It's great. He's also a Colts fan, so, you know, and I'm a Cowboys fan, so they're about to win a Super Bowl, and we're not going to draft a corner. So, hey, the Clippers are signing Boogie Cousins to another 10-day contract. Christian, is Cousins even worthy of being on a roster now?
Because if I'm not wrong, he did have another like 10-day contract before, or this?
Yeah, this is his second 10-day contract with the Clippers.
So I guess because the first one we approve a contract and maybe they're like, let's see a little bit more. But with how much he's been out and out of the picture and how like he hasn't been dominant.
And since that ACL injury in New Orleans, he just hasn't been the same.
I don't think it's going to be a big factor if he stays on the team.
Yeah, it won't really matter. But they need a big man.
It's kind of like, I hate to compare this to this, but Dwight Howard kind of.
No, because Howard last year, I mean, he helped kind of extend his career a little bit with that performance with the Lakers last year. But I guess I see where you're going when Dwight had that phase of bouncing to team. Like, I can't even name all the teams. The two I remember him going to were Charlotte and Atlanta, and I don't even remember the teams in between that or after that.
Yeah, that Lakers, quote, super team. That's another one.
They called that a super team?
It was supposed to be a super team, but it failed. Because, like, if you think
about the Dwight, Kobe, Powell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about Dwight, LeBron, and AD. I was whoa. Speaking of a team that wouldn't be a super team, some NBA executives believe Stephen Curry will consider playing for his hometown team in Charlotte once his contract is up. And Christian doesn't like the sound of that.
I mean, okay.
Hey, this was not a bad move. Look, I love when a player jumps from the West to the East because – the conferences need to balance out. The conferences are so unbalanced. The East is so pathetic this year. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Granted, because the Pacers are underperforming, but I've already ranted about them in plenty of episodes before this one. The Celtics underperforming. And yes, for all our IU fans, we are going to get to the Brad Stevens stuff and how the contract he was offered absolutely ridiculous. Christian, would this be a bad move for Curry's career if he went to Charlotte?
Well, I'd say, I mean, definitely not a bad move. It's an interesting turn because he's definitely a Hall of Famer already, in my opinion.
Top five,
if not top 10 of all time. So he can do whatever he wants.
Just him being the greatest three-point shooter alone gets you into the Hall of Fame. He could have no rings.
Mm-hmm.
He still goes to the Hall of Fame just for being the greatest three-point shooter to ever play the game of basketball.
I just think at this point, he should stay a Warriors lifer. He's not really at the, I guess you could say he's at the bottom slope of his career, you know, had some slow down and the way the Warriors are looking, you never know. He might be like, okay, it's time to hang it up. But I do know one thing, though, those Hornets announcers would have a field day.
Steph Curry from half court.
Goodness.
Can we talk about that for a second? Oh my goodness, Christian just brought up the best part. If Curry went to Charlotte, those announcers would be main. No, not even them. The play-by-play guy would be mainstream. I put it on my story a few days ago. I aspire to be him next year. I aspire to be that type of announcer. He's great. He's great.
Just getting hyped over like a rebound that's like obvious. It makes it interesting, and especially with LaMelo, they have a lot of potential. But if Curry did go there, is LaMelo capable of moving to the two? Because I mean, Steph.
Oh yeah, I think he would. Because if you look when he played at Chino Hills with his brothers, Lonzo was point guard, so he played shooting guard. He's played shooting guard before. I think he'd be fine at that position. I think the bigger question is what the owner would do in Michael Jordan. Because if you look at it right now, I think there's more weapons in Charlotte than there is in Golden State. You have James Wiseman, who's still developing. Draymond Green he's Draymond Green. What is he really going to do to help you win a title? There's nothing there that is going to help you win. And I know people are saying, well, Klay Thompson's back next year. Klay Thompson, if you ask me, is not going to be the same player he was. Two horrible injuries in a row like that. I don't see... Man, it'd be a miracle, though, if he came back at the same level.
I really hope Klay Thompson can go back to...
Klay Thompson.
at least a bit of the dominance he was before, because he was one of my favorite players. Everybody all was...
I love Klay.
They were hating on Steph, but Klay Thompson, I think... Everybody loved Klay Thompson.
I hated the Warriors, but I did like Klay Thompson.
Exactly.
I hated the Warriors, but I liked Klay Thompson.
Like back in 2K, I refused to use Curry. But Klay Thompson, I'll use Klay.
Let me tell you this. So me and my brother, shout out to Jordan, we made on Blacktop, we made a Blacktop 4 league where it's kind of like the big three, but except you use four players. Klay Thompson, first year, won the title. Absolute beast. Still a beast. We partnered it up with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Ooh.
Those two are nasty together. 4-0 right now. 4-0 in season 3. Shout out to the Blacktop 4 League, co-owned by me and Jordan.
They need to make Blacktop. Make Blacktop great again.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 2K. Ronnie 2K. Go ahead. Hit me up. IsaiahHoffman13@gmail.com. I know plenty of ways to make Blacktop look so much better. It looks like a social distancing crowd.
We've had the same court for like 8 years.
We've had the same court since it was on Xbox 360.
Let me play on a driveway like they do in my career.
Let me play.
All we need, man.
We're so off topic. Can they wear their jerseys instead of?
It needs to be okay. Yeah, because 2K16 was my first. It was my first next gen 2K. And that was my favorite part. You got to see everybody. And I used Lakers jerseys on purpose so they would be yellow on white. At least make it an option. Because people complain about the jersey. I know people don't like that.
I don't like the shirts that they wear. They're just so plain and boring. I definitely know what I'm titling this episode. The off-topic episode.
Like anything but actual sports episode.
No. I'm just saying we've bounced around to everything. Got off topic. Like, hey, this has been a great episode. I definitely... It's a great way to... I don't know. It's been a great episode so far. Where were we? Curry to the Hornets.
Yeah.
I think if Curry went to the Hornets, this team would be a contender in the East. Maybe not win it, but they would definitely be a contender. I think the biggest question, though, is their stingy Mr. Krabs owner, Michael Jordan. Great basketball player, the greatest of all time. Horrible owner, though. He likes to stay under the salary cap. I get it. Charlotte's not a major market, so you can't really, abuse the soft cap. By the way, I don't even know what I would hashtag, but just please change the soft cap to a hard cap.
I've NBA. Heard a lot about how, like, other sports do it. Because if I'm correct, like, baseball doesn't have a cap at all, right?
I think I don't know. I don't know baseball. I know NFL has a hard cap, and that's what the NBA needs to switch to, because that's why all these super teams form.
Yeah. Also, another off-topic thing: MLB The Show 21 looks amazing.
It does. Hey, credit to MLB The Show on next-gen consoles. Just shouting out everything today.
Hey, it's a shout-out show.
Shout out to everybody listening. You guys are the best.
Sorry, I'm getting you off topic.
Just get back on topic. Jordan, stingy owner, that's where we were at. He let Kemba go so they would stay under the soft cap.
See,
they're going to have to go over the soft cap if they want to get Curry.
Yeah, because that's a definite
especially
thing.
If you want to keep those weapons like Miles Bridges, Terry Rozier, scary Terry Rozier, and all the other weapons they have. Can't forget about Cody Zeller, IU alum. Can't forget about Cody Zeller. Remember all the hype around going off top. Remember the hype around Cody Zeller coming out of the draft.
Yeah, because I remember in my career he was like played a little rookie showcase. He was
he's putting up like 20 points a game.
I know, I hated him, and then like in real life I'm like, well, he's not doing that in the game. They got to change that.
Still the biggest fan I've ever felt, putting up 20 points in the showcase, and you still hear Anthony Bennett.
Oh my god,
ridiculous.
I don't know how Chris Moog did it on Hall of Fame too.
I don't know either.
But basically, you're kind of connecting to the Hornets. I was just thinking, if the Thunder are a small market team and they have all those picks,
how are they going to be able to sign Bronny and all them back to their contracts?
Because are they going to have to trade everybody after the after their rookie contract expires?
Like, I have no idea. It's going to be interesting to see. Man, I totally spaced that. Bronny James, future of the Oklahoma City Thunder, 2022.
But then you get LeBron and the Thunder. So I would trade every pick just to get the number one pick in that draft and also sign LeBron.
Well, LeBron would be like 40, so at that point I'm telling LeBron, we'll sign you, but you're not playing.
Whoa. For real?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you think LeBron's going to be the same player when he's 40 years old? I realize, you know, hey, there's Tom Brady. LeBron and Tom Brady are two totally different people and playing two totally different sports.
I think he'll be I'm trying to think of, like, a really good vet right now.
Vince Carter. He's gone, but I mean, like, he played all right.
Maybe Tracy McGrady on the Rockets. That might be too good for what LeBron could be.
Yeah.
But I think that's a decent comparison.
Let's go ahead and stay on the topic about staying on topic. Something we haven't done this episode, but staying on topic. Number one prospect, Chet Holmgreen, commits to Gonzaga.
Ooh.
I've been saying it since, I think, episode one of this podcast. I was saying Chet Holmgreen's going to go to Gonzaga. Well, it was rumored he was going to go to Gonzaga, and now this only confirms what I was saying here. I will go ahead and read it to you, Christian. Chet Holmgreen, the number one overall recruit in ESPN's 2021 rankings, committed to Gonzaga on Monday. The 7'1" center from Minneapolis is a former high school teammate of current Gonzaga point guard. Hit the buzzer beater against UCLA point guard Jalen Suggs. So, I have two questions for you. Is Gonzaga going back to the Natty, and are they going to win it? And does Jalen Suggs now stay at Gonzaga instead of entering the NBA draft where he's projected to be a top 10, top 5 pick?
I think Jalen Suggs might as well go if he's projected to be that high. You know,
yeah.
That's a sad part about the world.
Why? Oh, I'm not going number, because it's pretty much right now clear that Cade Cunningham will be the number one overall pick from Oklahoma State. Why not go back, play with your best friend and Chet Holmgreen, win a natty, and now you're the number one overall pick. Unless Chet Holmgreen enters the draft that next year, then he'll be the number one overall draft pick, and then, you know, it doesn't really matter at then.
I just think it's so tough because college has been so devalued because people are only going one and done. I feel bad for Coach K over at Duke. Because, you know, players are just there.
Yeah, they're struggling.
Leaving so easily. And they didn't even get in the tournament.
Neither did, you said Duke, right? Neither did Kentucky.
Yeah, it's wild. But something else I was thinking about, I wonder how, like, that'll change if either A, college players start to get paid, or B, the G League becomes a really good factor.
I was just about to say that. I think college basketball is in a very rough spot right now, especially with you know, how long it takes for them to eventually start paying these players. And, you know, the G League already swooped up, swap, got two big stars, I believe. I know one of them was Jalen Green, and then the other one was Jonathan Kuminga. I think I'm right on that second name, or maybe it was someone else. I don't know for sure. I know Jalen Green was for sure in the G League, and I think the other one is Kuminga. Does Gonzaga go back-to-back with this acquisition?
I do think it's really possible. I would.
Okay. I was saying it. I think I said it on episode one. I think they go back-to-back. And I was saying they were going to win this year's and last year's. Obviously, they didn't. They got whooped by Baylor. Whooped.
Unfortunately.
I've gone to bed now twice. I've gone to bed at halftime twice now, in the Super Bowl and in the national championship. It's a shame. It's a darn shame.
I mean, I'll kind of add on to that. Like that Super Bowl, national championship.
Shout out to my mom. She would never let me stay up to watch these games. Never. I'd always have to go 9:30 sharp. You're going to bed. I didn't get to stay up. Now I'm in my teenage years. You know, I can stay up and watch them. And they're blowouts. I'm like, what is this? Granted, I got to watch my Lakers win a championship last year. So hey, I wasn't complaining if it was a blowout or not. They're going to win it again this year. Hate to break it to you. Brooklyn, though. Maybe Brooklyn.
No. I don't think so.
Oh, who do you have then?
Lakers. They have to.
Oh, you do have the Lakers. I was about to say, okay, then who do you have?
They pull out of nowhere like Memphis.
We're staying on the topic of the NBA. I'm going to go ahead. We did it last episode. I think I'm going to make it a daily thing where we only got a few more minutes left, so I'm going to try and wrap this up quick. We're going to go ahead and check out the Eastern and Western Conference standings. A lot of big games happened. Philly played Brooklyn. And did that change the tide of the East? No, it did not. Philadelphia still sits at number one in the East at 39-17. I'm going to go ahead and run down the full top eight. Brooklyn is second at 38-19. The Bucks are third at 35-21. The Hawks are fourth at 31-26. The Celtics are fifth at 31-26. So I guess they're tied for fourth. The Knicks sit at sixth at 31-27. Wow. The Heat sit at seventh at 29-28. The Hornets sit at eighth at 28-28. And then at number nine, we have the hometown 26-30 Indiana Pacers. The Raptors sit at 10 at 24-34. And then the last team that I believe can make, the last two teams that can arguably make the playoffs right now are the Bulls and the Wizards, who are tied 23-33. They both have that record. And then the Cavs, the Magic, and Pistons sit at the bottom of the East. Hashtag fade for Kane.
I don't know if you mentioned this also. I'm not trying to get too off topic, but did you see the thing where they said Russ is the greatest wizard of all time?
What?
That was a thing.
What do you think of the East? Let me not rant. What do you think of the East?
Happy to see the Heat in at least in playoff contention right now, because I know it was back and forth between, you know, that and not, especially with the Pacers. 76ers, I've never really liked Joel Embiid like that. He's never bought the hype.
Henry Jokic is MVP this year.
Ooh. You said what?
Those are the top two. Him and Jokic are the top two votes right now for MVP.
Well, I actually like Jokic.
I'm going to say Embiid because the Nuggets aren't going to do nothing in the playoffs without Murray. So give me Embiid for MVP this year.
It's weird seeing the Bucks not number one or
the Bucks
two.
Are the most overrated team in the top five. In the top three. Out of the top three teams in the East, I think the Bucks are the most overrated because And then after that, the Celtics are the second most overrated.
Yeah, and it's just weird seeing the Hawks so high up because Trae Young is also one that kind of doesn't really stick out too much to me. I know.
They're in.
Yeah,
top.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
The real question is, what are they going
to
do?
And the Celtics, I mean, we didn't get to talk about it, so we'll throw it in right here since we're talking about the Celtics. IU offered Brad Stevens 7 years, $70 million to be the IU head coach. I don't know. I mean, I like college basketball more, so I would have probably jumped if I was an NBA head coach because I've always wanted to coach college basketball no matter what level. I don't know. Would you have taken that if you were Brad?
I think I would have taken it if the Celtics were in a lot worse place right now.
Yeah.
Because
they're in the playoffs, but I mean, they're just going to lose in semifinals.
They're going to lose, but still making the playoffs and at least top five. It's so much job security, and especially on the NBA level, that'll help your resume.
Yeah.
But, I mean, since I'm going to be going to IU, I really hope that he would have when I first heard about yeah. it, because I would have made it a lot more. I know Mike Woodson. I've heard about him a lot. Hey. Heard that he was with the Knicks. So that's
have fun watching
really
that, that football team this coming year. They're going to be good to watch. Let's go ahead and jump over to the Western Conference. At number one, we have, led by Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, we have the 42-15 Utah Jazz. And at number two, we have the team. Shout out to Xavier. He was in the class last year. I told him at the beginning of the year the Suns were going to be a top three team in the West.
Shout out Chris Paul. I
and
love
they
him.
They are sitting at number two. I've been, I was telling everyone that would listen to me. Paul was going to elevate Ayton and Booker to a level to where they were going to be a top team in the West. And they are sitting now at 40-16, second place. In third, you have the most overrated team in the West. You have the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm not saying that because I'm a Lakers fan. I'm saying it because it's true. Hashtag Pandemic P. Number four, we have the Nuggets. I expect their record to fall a lot due to Murray being out. Not major, but there's going to be a lot of losses there. At fifth, we have the Lakers. I expect them to go up a little more when they get LeBron. They're supposed to get AD back this week or next week or maybe even sooner than that. I really don't know. At six, we have the Trailblazers. Like I said last episode, props to them. Usually they like to be an eighth seed. So congratulations to them. At seventh, we have the Mavericks. Not really meeting a lot of expectations this year, if you ask me. They should be a lot higher.
Point. J.J. Redick has not been.
I heard they're going for Kawhi, so.
I do. I heard.
I heard they want to trade Porzingis to open up room for Kawhi. So, go. Hey.
I also saw the Warriors are also.
I saw that, too. I think that will help Curry stay if
I
they can get
Kawhi
him.
I Kawhi's going to do that, though. Well, he went to the Clippers, so.
Yeah, you know what? This weak soft cap that the NBA has, anything is possible. And then at eighth, we have the team you were saying is going to win the chip, the Grizzlies. So the Grizzlies sit at eight, the Warriors at ninth, the Spurs at 10th, the Pelicans at 11, the Kings at 12, the Thunder at 13, the Rockets at 14th, and the Timberwolves at 15. Christian, here's my rant before we end the episode. The Spurs are 10th, right? Mm-hmm. The Pelicans and the Kings, two of the most promising young teams in the league, are behind the Spurs. The Spurs haven't been relevant since they won a championship and since they've had Kawhi. The Timberwolves, they're gonna show out this year. You know, we got D'Lo, we got Carl Anthony Towns, we got Anthony. You're last in the West. Yeah. Oh, are you kidding me? All these promising teams in the West, and you're letting the Spurs beat you, and it's not even for a playoff spot. Absolutely ridiculous. Christian, thank you for joining me on this spectacular off-topic episode of Hoff the Cuff. Of course, I'm Isaiah Hoffman, Coach Hoffman, the man that only yells into the mic, never talks normal. Thank you guys for listening. Episode 10 and another F1 special should be coming your way very, very soon.